This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
West Coast Leave has released its fifth annual report card on women's rights in British Columbia. The report card is an annual assessment of how well BC is measuring up on international legal standards of women's equality. Those standards are set out in the United Nations Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. The report card comes on the heels of unprecedented international attention to violence against Indigenous women and girls in Canada and calls for a national inquiry into the hundreds of murders and disappearances of women and girls across the country.
Laura Track is the legal director at West Coast Leaf, and I spoke with her about how British Columbia is measuring up in women's rights and the results of that 2013 report card. Here's the interview.
Why does West Coast Leaf issue this annual report card on women's rights in British Columbia?
West Coast Leaf issues this annual report on women's rights in British Columbia for a number of reasons. We do it to mark Persons Day, which is the anniversary of the day in 1929 when the famous five, as they're known, five tireless women's rights activists, were finally successful in having the courts declare women persons under the law. And many folks will be surprised to know that it wasn't until 1929 that women were actually recognized as persons here in Canada. But we honor that day as an important marker in the struggle for women's rights, as well as a reminder that there's work left to do. That day, white women in Canada were recognized as persons, but it took another several decades for immigrant women, women of color, and Aboriginal women to receive that same benefit under the law. So we mark the day by acknowledging some of the successes in provincial government policy in terms of protecting and respecting and fulfilling women's rights, while also noting the areas in which there's still substantial improvement left to be had.
This is the fifth year that BC received failing grades in some areas specifically. Tell us about some of those.
This is the fifth year in which British Columbia received an F grade on the measure of access to justice. Legal aid has been decimated in this province. In 2002, approximately 40% of the legal aid budget was cut, and family law services in particular were really hard hit. And women are more likely to need legal assistance in family law cases. We see the numbers telling us that of the legal aid applications that are made, women are disproportionately represented in applications for family law and in denials of service for family law legal advice and representation. And so women are appearing in court on their own, navigating the court process on their own, sometimes cross-examining former spouses who have abused them, fighting for rights to custody and access to their children, really quite fundamental issues that women are navigating on their own without the benefit of legal assistance in the courts. And we see this as a really important area for women's equality. And for equality generally, our courts simply cannot be only accessible to those with the resources to pay expensive lawyers in order to access them. True justice and true equality means equal access to the courts for everyone. And we have been calling on the provincial government to invest in legal aid and ensure equal access to the courts for many years now. And unfortunately, this is the fifth year in which we have to award an F grade for their commitment to this priority.
Are there any areas in which the province is improving, or at least doing moderately well?
We awarded the highest grade this year, a B- on the issue of violence against women. And we know that violence is a massive problem in British Columbia, across Canada, and around the world. Violence against women is a terrible problem in our communities and affects women from every race, every class, across the country. British Columbia has taken some steps towards creating policies and practices to help address this issue. We have a fairly new provincial office of domestic violence that is preparing policy recommendations and a three-year plan going forward for addressing violence in our communities. We also have a new Family Law Act in force this year, which defines family violence quite broadly, recognizes that family violence doesn't just mean physical abuse, but includes psychological abuse, threats, harassment, stalking behavior, and also recognizes that family violence is relevant to custody and access determinations and affects the best interests of children. And that provision in the new act has been interpreted by the courts in a way that we see as beneficial to women's equality and safety when they're separating from an abusive ex-spouse. So there has been progress in some policy areas in BC with respect to violence against women. However, we haven't seen those policies matched by funding commitments to the anti-violence organizations, to the transition homes, and to the women's centers that really provide such much-needed service to women who have been impacted by violence. In fact, over the last several years, we've seen significant cuts to women's centers across the province. And so we haven't raised the grade on violence against women this year. It's held steady at a B minus in light of those positive policy reforms. But until we see that matched by a commitment in investment in the resources that women impacted by violence really need and rely on, we won't be able to raise the grade.
This report card was issued on the heels of international attention to women's issues in British Columbia and in this specific area as well. Tell us more about that.
Canada's failure to address the long-standing crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous women has drawn incredible international attention this year. In just the last 3 months, three different UN or international human rights bodies have come to Canada to investigate this crisis and the issue. In August, commissioners from the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights visited the country, hearing testimony about disappearances of Indigenous women and girls along BC's Highway of Tears in particular. In September, human rights experts from the UN Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women were here in Canada assessing the plight of Indigenous women and speaking to family members of missing and murdered women and girls. And then most recently, just a couple of weeks ago, the UN Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples concluded a week-long investigation here in Canada. Additionally, back in the spring, Canada's human rights record was considered by the UN Universal Periodic Review. And in each case, the rapporteurs, the investigators, the countries reviewing Canada's human rights record at the UN called on Canada to address violence against Indigenous women and girls as an urgent priority, and also called on Canada to conduct a national inquiry into these hundreds of murders and disappearances of women and girls across the country. Canada has not heeded that call, although I give great acknowledgement to the province for eventually joining a call of provincial premiers from across the country calling on Canada to do so. But so far, the federal government has really been deaf to these calls for an accounting and an accountability and a reckoning for the crisis of murders and disappearances of Indigenous women and girls across the country. I think it's really an unprecedented year for international attention focused on Canada's human rights record, and I would really like to see Canada step up to the plate and answer these calls and be accountable for the human rights violations that are taking place here every day.
Tell us something about the priorities going forward for women's rights in British Columbia at this time in the fall of 2013.
I've already talked about the need for investment in legal aid as a matter of women's equality. We also really need to see investment in housing, safe, affordable, accessible, appropriate housing for women and girls across the country, or across the province, I should say. Here in the Lower Mainland, we do a homeless count every year. We know that homeless counts are, of course, undercounts and underreport the problem of women's homelessness in particular. But what the homeless count did find this year was the highest number of women sleeping on the streets that they've ever observed in many years of doing the count. That's really concerning, and we desperately need provincial action to invest in new affordable housing units in the Lower Mainland and across the province. This isn't just a downtown east side issue. Homelessness and insecure housing, unaffordable housing is a problem across the province. We'd also really like to see the government invest in appropriate incarceration facilities for women on remand in Vancouver Island. That's an issue that we highlighted on our Women in Prisons measure this year, which fell to a failing grade for the first time that we've been doing the report card, a D grade for 2013. In light of absolutely horrendous conditions for women on remand on Vancouver Island, there's a lack of facilities there, and women report being held in basically a drunk tank, police cell sort of situation for days at a time before they've even had a chance to appear once in court. And they lack access to showers, they haven't been able to brush their teeth, they've been sleeping on a mat on the floor. These are conditions that are simply not acceptable in a place like British Columbia or anywhere, really, and constitute, in our view, grave human rights violations for women. We need investment in appropriate remand facilities on Vancouver Island. So those are a couple of the priorities that I see.
Laura Track, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, one thing I'd like to add is just to remember that while we parse the report card into eight separate subject areas and give individual grades on each of the subject areas, it's important to remember how interconnected all of the grades are and how they add up to an unacceptable situation overall for BC women. For example, if you're experiencing violence in your relationship, but you have no safe alternative housing to go to, you're less likely to leave. If you're living in poverty, even if you make slightly more than the minimum wage, you're going to make too much to qualify for legal aid, but you're not going to be able to afford childcare. You're not going to be able to afford legal representation and fair access to the courts. Your health is likely to suffer. Your children's health is likely to suffer. And so these issues are truly interconnected, and I think underlying all of them is the issue of poverty and women's poverty in particular. So going back to priorities, ensuring that that women and children, that all British Columbians are able to live a life of dignity, a life where their basic needs are met, that really needs to be the priority for a province as wealthy as British Columbia is.
Thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks so much for speaking with me.
Laura Track is the legal director at West Coast Leaf. You can find out more and view or download a PDF copy of the 2013 report card on women's rights in British Columbia online at westcoastleaf.org.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.